Right now, WikiLeaks remains under near financial blockade, and as of June 2012, its founder, Julian Assange, has been holed up inside the Ecuadorian embassy in London, where he's been granted diplomatic asylum. The British government says it intends to extradite him to Sweden, where he's wanted in questioning in a sexual assault investigation. Assange claims that the U.S. is waiting to extradite him from Sweden to face charges related to the Manning leaks. Cyrus Farivar, senior business editor at Ars Technica, recently observed that despite its current ill fortunes, WikiLeaks has inspired a rash of copycats. Quebec Leaks, Brussels Leaks, Enviro Leaks, RU Leaks, and UniLeaks for universities, to name a few. But in spite of this flood of aspiring leak sites, the leaks themselves seem to have dried up.
It's great if you have 50,000 sites that can publish leaks, but at the end of the day, you need leakers. If there's one thing that the case of Bradley Manning shows, it's that you can get in an awful lot of trouble if you leak really important stuff. So it takes a certain type of person with a certain type of conviction, not to mention a certain type of access, willing to face the music, as it were. So far, the only two major sites beyond WikiLeaks are an outfit out of Bulgaria that's called Balkan Leaks, and another one that's called Local Leaks, which has ties to Anonymous and has been publishing documents pertaining to the Steubenville, Ohio alleged rape case. There's also a new platform out of Italy that's called Global Leaks that is also still in progress.
So begin with Balkan Leaks.
They are run by two guys. One lives in Bulgaria, the other lives in France. They're both journalists and they're both information activists. They're using a software that's called Tor, the de facto gold standard in terms of keeping information and people and data anonymous and encrypted online. And so they've written up instructions in Bulgarian, in Macedonian, in other regional languages, explaining to people precisely how to use this tool and why it's important that they use it. One of the things that they've gotten most recently is a really interesting government dossier concerning the recently departed Prime Minister of Bulgaria, Boris Borisov.
Recently departed, why?
BalkanLeaks published what's called the Buddha dossier, which outlined to the public in more detail than had ever been seen before the fact that the previous government had recruited him as a government agent for his believed ties to the Bulgarian underworld. Within weeks, Mr. Borisov stepped down from the head of the Bulgarian government. I asked BalkanLeaks' head if they thought that the fact that the prime minister had stepped down was a direct result of their publication. And, you know, they seemed to be okay with taking a little bit of credit, but they were reticent to accept all of the credit.
So now tell me about this Italian project called Global Leaks, which evidently is trying to construct the next generation of leak sites.
What Global Leaks wants to do is they want to create a framework, a platform, an application, if you will, that anybody could use and install and verify on their own. So there could be a Global Leaks partner or client in Brazil, and another one in South Africa, and another one in California, and another one in Japan. Conceivably, anybody could run a properly secured leaking platform.
They're franchising.
In a way, yeah.
So now tell me about the third successful site based in the United States. It's called Local Leaks. It has garnered a lot of attention for its coverage of the alleged rape of a high school girl in Steubenville, Ohio, and that trial has just begun this week. You say that Local Leaks stands out among these sites. How?
Unlike WikiLeaks, unlike Global Leaks, unlike Balkan Leaks for that matter, Local Leaks is inviting people to submit documents and photos and is collecting its own kinds of digital material and is compiling them into a long, detailed, and frankly quite plausible chronology and narrative, trying to tell what it calls the hard truth of the Steubenville alleged rape situation.
It takes in material from the community, analyzes it, creates a narrative using a wide variety of sources, tweets, Facebook, Instagram, and so on. Let's see, is there a word for doing that? Let me think. I can't think of one.
I think that that's a fair point. Something that's often frustrating about some of these larger leak sites is that all too often they just act as repositories for huge volumes of information. It's really difficult for people to know what's important and what's not. And as you say, when journalists or other people take the time to sift through that, I think that that provides a valuable service.
What about the websites inspired by WikiLeaks that aren't grassroots, that have been launched by The Wall Street Journal and Al Jazeera? Have they gone anywhere?
Not as far as I'm aware. The Wall Street Journal site in particular came under heavy scrutiny because there was some language in its terms and conditions that basically said that if you're a leaker, potentially the Wall Street Journal, if forced to, could turn over your identity. WikiLeaks, GlobalLeaks, and BalkanLeaks, as much as they're able, shield the identity of the leaker so that they really don't know where the leak came from. It's important to remember that in the case of Bradley Manning with WikiLeaks, the reason why we even know Bradley Manning's name is because a journalist that he confessed to turned him into the feds.
Cyrus, thank you very much.
You're welcome, Brooke.
Cyrus Farivar is the senior business editor at Ars Technica.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Jeffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at The New Yorker. So join us every week on The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.